We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is Gresh and Keefe.
Good Lord, what is wrong with you? A lot. That's why you listen to the show, and that's why you'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Keefe and I will be here at Gillette Stadium for joint practices.
Andy Gresh.
We're watching our show, which is fantastic.
Yes, right.
Yes, so. And two, Gresh and I see the same nutritionist.
Rich Keefe.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
NFL MVP.
I'm going with Baker Mayfield.
Of course.
Baker Mayfield.
Gresh and Keefe, right now.
There is suddenly hope for the Jets after Sam Darnold's triumphant return from mono last week.
On WEEI.
Into the final hour of training camp. Keefe's got vacationitis right now. An hour to go before a private jet takes you to wherever you're
taking
going.
Taking a chopper. Taking a helicopter. Billy was here early enough today where the helicopter came in and out. I missed it.
I know. We missed it. Well, Mr. Kraft didn't want to sort of upstage both
of the
teams.
That was very kind of him. Oh, I thought you were going to say he didn't want to distract us when we're on the show.
Oh, well,
so
there's
was like,
there's
you know
that
what? I'll
too.
Get it in and out before 10 o'clock.
To hell
that was
with
very
those
kind.
Idiots.
Yeah, that's very nice.
I don't
of
want my helicopter in the background of a couple of fights on my field.
Couple of fights. That was one of the big takeaways from today, I would say, right? Guys running a little hot. Why not? That'll lead SportsCenter, right?
Patriots, oh, definitely. Panthers. No doubt. Oh, yeah, that's in the open,
Foxborough.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Very much so. And you'll see Cole Strange running over there to
mixing it up.
Getting the no tape. Nothing on his thumbs.
Nothing.
Nothing. No gloves on his hands to protect himself. None of that stuff. Just running over there. He looked like really a practice squad guy to run over there because he's got the shirt kind of flopping and hanging and stuff. But
you don't have gloves or elbow pads. Nobody can help you out with any of that. He's like, nope, don't want it.
Nope, don't want it.
Don't want it.
I wonder what
it's like. Vlad Guerrero and Jorge Posada going to the plate.
There you go.
Nothing. No hand. They'd soak their hands in urine, and then they'd go out there and sock baseballs.
They'd pee all over themselves.
That's what they would do. They're like, I need good grip. Let me pee all over my hands.
It's like going into the blue level bathroom here in the dark and hoping that you can, you know,
who knows
hit.
What's going on in there.
Exactly.
It's up to you.
But you get it.
Maybe we'll find out
that's
what Strange does. It's like, no wonder he's so good. Nobody wants to go after the guy.
He's Big Bob, the cattle rustler. You know, he's been
there's
dealing with
that.
You know, like those cowboys.
Strength.
Yeah, they got
there's
the hard
something
ropes
about that.
And
the
stuff.
Hay, yeah, he's got that.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Just like picking like big bales of hay.
Farm strength.
Farm strength. I think he has that.
That's what it was.
Yeah,
at one point in time, I had farm strength.
Yeah.
And it was on the farm for about 2 or 3 minutes, and then that was it. So Patriots joint practice day one is over with, and there were fights. There were interesting substitution patterns. And,
yes.
Keith, as you mentioned,
yes.
Practice went a little longer than originally anticipated.
They must have liked what they saw out there or something. They felt pretty good about it. Both coaches agreed. I'm not surprised that Matt Rule is on the same page as Bill. He strikes me as the guy's like, whatever you need, Bill.
Very subservient.
That.
And joining us now with his hat all tangled up into his Dr. Leonard hair. Well, when you have that much hair, your
it's
hat
true.
Can
a
get
that's
there's
all.
A lot. Kind of tangled up a little bit. Our friend Tommy Kern of NBC Sports Boston. And what was your big takeaway today? I think there was a lot to kind of get through.
There was a ton. Let's just table the fight for a second and talk about, for me, the main thing that we wanted to look at was, okay, well, how does the offense look 8 days or five practices on from when it was so bad that the players acknowledged it and they had to have a meeting at the end of practice? How did it look? I would give it a B. You know, we saw right out of the chutes there was a stretch run with Damian Harris followed by one of those little bootleg waggle throws to Jacoby Myers, which was identical to the Denver Broncos stuff. When I say Denver Broncos, I'm done with calling them Channing. They're trying to do what I feel is more of the Denver Broncos from the 90s.
Yeah. Interesting, because that's all Shanahan. Whether it's young or old Shanahan, it's still the Shanahan.
You get yourself a nice Olindis Gary. You stick him in the backfield. You run for 1,200.
Where's Mike Anderson when we need
get
him?
A Ruben Drones.
That's a great point. Excellent point. And they had a lot of drag patterns going on. Jonnu Smith spent a lot of time in the backfield today. Basically, the offense is predicated on those three-level crossing patterns off of the stretch run. So you saw traction today, and you saw good performances. My other big takeaway was, aside from how bad Mayfield and Darnold looked, even though the passes were ass, the Patriots' corners did an excellent job locking down in individual drills, didn't they? Did you watch that?
We did. We saw that. I saw Jalen Mills making a few plays. I think it was Jack Jones.
Both Jones.
Okay.
Marcus Jones, Jonathan Jones, every Jones you could find
was out there making plays. The flying Jones. I know we're going to do all Patriots here. Did you think Baker was terrible too? Because I thought Darnold, he wasn't even getting snaps, right? He threw picks. I thought Baker at least was clearly better than Darnold.
Yes.
Okay.
I did.
But they were both wild. It's on a curve.
The first period, it looked like Baker was off a little bit when they were kind of working those early drills and then worked his way into
it.
And like you said,
like
Darnold had a snap, hit a hand, and fell right down and all that. But regardless.
I think one thing that should be mentioned, though, that we did see some offensive line breakdowns for the Patriots in some of the 7-on-7, 11-on-11 plays that probably resulted in gains that were not going to be gains. But, again, on a curve compared to where it was last week, you'd have to say it's a B minus, right?
You went B, now you're already B minus. We keep talking, are you going to go C plus? I thought Devontae Parker, again, we're doing the show, so we have like a half eye on it, but he had a couple of really nice contested ball catches. He, of all the receivers for the Pats, seemed to stand out to me the most.
He and Myers both had really good practices, and I thought what Devontae Parker continues to show is, not to belabor this point, but it's all relative to N'Keal Harry. He's doing exactly what the Patriots used a first-round pick on N'Keal Harry to do. High point the ball. Be a physical presence. Don't just fit the suit, but play like you belong in the suit. Mm-hmm. And I asked Parker, I said, how did you think your practice was? He goes, I could have done better. I said, I thought you were really good. He goes, I had some good plays. And then I said, I asked him about the high pointing, and he said, well, to me, 50-50 balls are 80-20.
That's a good line.
But you know what? It's funny because Rich and I talked about that, Tommy, and it felt like for a long period of time that Bill Belichick was averse to those kinds of plays, and it was much more into the hands of Tom Brady. If you think the guy can go win the battle, then throw it up. He did it with Moss. He did it with Gronk. But he didn't do it with everybody. And I thought philosophically, Bill Belichick wasn't really into that game. Hey, that's a low percentage play. So is there also a philosophical shift? Or was N'Keal Harry just so bad? The philosophical shift happened years ago, but it's now being implemented because Devontae Parker is actually a real human being playing the game.
I don't know. I think that when you look at 14, 15, 16, 17, your best physical matchup was Gronk, and the other matchups were Brandon LaFell. He's not a high-pointing guy. Brandon Cook's not a high-pointing guy. Malcolm Mitchell comes in and plays well, but it was more of a water-bug offense, and Gronk would be your seam guy as a
play-action seam guy. Boom, let him run.
But, Harry should have been. So when you draft a guy to do that, you're saying, okay, we want this to be part of it. Okay, he can't do it.
Yeah, right.
So, but the great thing about that, when we talk about variations in the passing game off of the Denver and Shanahan offense, is the offshoot, as you guys know, for a high-pointing ball is back shoulder.
Yep.
So once that chemistry starts to build, that's a huge advantage for, I would think, Mac Jones. And, again, I think Myers has had a really, really good camp. Disappointing day again for my guy Kendrick Bourne.
Quiet. He's been quiet all camp, and he got thrown out. And he got thrown out. I was going to ask you about that. Did you see how all that started?
Yes.
And, take us through that. And then I'm also curious, you've been to enough of these camps. These things happen all the time. Is Belichick like, hey, good, you're showing some fire? Or is Belichick like, what are you doing? You just lost all these reps.
No, I think he was getting probably pissed at the second one. First one he kind of gets.
Okay.
But then he doesn't want to see it get protracted because Christian Wilkerson was on the left-hand field of two fields. He got tackled on the left-hand sideline in front of where the Carolina Panthers were. He had been jawing earlier with the very vociferous Carolina defensive backs who were loud all day. And seemingly somebody on the sideline, Phil thought that it might have been a coach, kind of directed Wilkerson back with a small shot, and Wilkerson said something back, and then it was on. So then you had the Patriots sideline come across.
Cole Strange.
So they all, yeah, so they
Strange
all come
right
across.
There.
Yeah, he was
yeah.
right there. I
yeah,
loved it.
Yeah.
And then as that's going on, so now you have 60 players milling around.
Yep.
Out of that comes Bourne and somebody else. Bourne throws a punch.
Mm-hmm.
Bourne had earlier in the practice gotten thrown out of a rep by Belichick for not being ready for something.
We saw that.
So
we didn't know if it was equipment or what it was, but we saw him in.
He was mad. It looked like I thought it was one of those, like, the refs hit him for a violation because he basically had shorts on.
Yes. Okay. He was pissed. He was pissed.
Okay.
He got thrown off. And he's had a very quiet camp, and I'm a huge Kendrick Bourne. He's going to have a huge year guy, but when you get thrown off, get a specific speaking to by the head coach, then later decide to go Tommy Hearns on the outside of the scrum and get thrown off and then swear the whole way down the stairs because, you're making a conscious decision when you square off and throw a punch.
Yeah, with a guy
just say,
with a guy who's wearing a helmet.
You can't just say, I saw red. So it's – and I like the kid. I think he's an excellent player.
Yeah.
He's been an enjoyable guy to deal with.
But it seems like with
Parker
– and I know they're different skill sets, but with Parker and with Thornton showing up, this isn't – like if those guys weren't here and N'Keal Harry still was, Bourne could probably miss every practice and it might not matter. He'd still play. But now it's like you got other guys. You got Aguilar. You got other guys that are going to take his playing time.
And it's not going to be a get-cut situation he's too good, but you can get marooned. And Tyquan Thornton made what you guys, I'm sure, saw today, too, was the best individual play in one-on-ones. They're terrified.
He's
you can
open.
See the Panthers are terrified of him running past them.
Oh, Thornton?
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
He's got so much speed.
Well, one of the other guys that Keith and I thought that stood out, by the way, Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston is with us. The role for Ty Montgomery is right there, and he is, if he isn't going to be the new James White, as much as what they're going to do, or at least what it seems they're going to do with Jonnu Smith, you know, line him up in the backfield, hand it to him, motion, all that kind of stuff. That's where Ty Montgomery has the ability to fit in as both a wide receiver and a running back. And it seems like every time he's in there, something good is usually happening. Are you seeing the same thing?
Yes. And he's been running with the twos a fair amount too, but today was out there a ton with the ones. And we, Phil and I, Perry and I, have thought about Ramondre Stevenson because he does have soft hands. Belichick talked about his pass-catching skills, but Montgomery, again, fits that suit better than Ramondre Stevenson. He's a smaller, quicker guy. He's not the same level of tiny as Falk or Woodhead or Green, but he's so experienced that you don't have to worry about, okay, does he get the concept of blitz pickup? Does he get the concept of where to fit on this? And he's played so many of these things that, you know, the natural football intelligence that he brings is going to be off the charts compared to some other guys.
So you've covered the team the entire time Matt Patricia has been an assistant coach here. And then I remember talking to you 5 years ago when he got the Detroit job, and we both agreed maybe not going to be the best head coach, and he wasn't. He comes back here, whatever his role may be, but he's had a chance to talk to the media more. Do you think he sounds like a guy who has changed? Or because, again, going to be a head coach somewhere and failing at that can humble some people, right? We'll see how Josh McDaniels does this year with the Raiders. But have you noticed a different Matt Patricia, or does it sound like the guy from 17 when he was here last?
No, he's completely different. And what would happen with Patricia then was the simplest questions he would turn into a word salad. He wouldn't make eye contact. He'd mumble. He just specifically would make the job a lot harder than it had to be, which, okay, you know, I can live without the defensive coordinator quotes. I can just observe what's going on and write about it. But it would get so absurd that I'm like, is he socially stunted? And Mayo would tell me, no, the guy's the best guy, you know, you have up. I said, well, why gratuitous make
this?
It more difficult?
Yeah.
And we talked about it because there was one day he just talked in a massive circle when I asked him about the lack of development for Jabal Sheard and somebody else.
Good pull, Jabal Sheard.
And I'm like, what? I said, these are guys you're supposed to be building around. They're not developing. Well, it's kind of a negative question. I'm like,
yeah, okay.
I'm not
what
the one
want?
Who's told you to bench him. So we talked about it. He said, look, we're not supposed to really talk here. You know how it is. Well, meanwhile, Josh McDaniels was back here.
Right.
And he was, you know, Johnny Carson. He was a blast to talk. So it didn't have to be that hard. And I think whether it's Matt or Eric Mangini or you line them up and knock them down, the guys who realize, boy, I really didn't make things easy on myself by deciding to be exactly like Bill Belichick, they come back and they're like, okay, I'll try it another way, which is welcomed.
Yeah, for sure.
It needs to be, no question. And Google Tommy Hearns and Johnny Carson, kids.
Sorry.
If you no, it's not
our,
a you thing.
Our,
we say it all
spot,
the time
Kern,
because you know
spot.
you gotta let the kids know where to go to be able to figure it out. Tommy Kern of NBC Sports Boston, hell of a day today. Should be fun tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah, looking forward to it.
We'll talk to you next week, Fred.
All right, boys.
Thank you. There we go. There goes Tommy. Andy Hart's gonna slide in next, but first here's John ready to trend.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. Donate today and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or dial 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Sox start a three-game road set with the Pirates tonight at 7:05. Nick Pivetta opposing Mitch Keller on the mound. Joe Gostig, Will Fleming at the call on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Network. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Tune into the Visit Massachusetts pregame show tonight at 6:05 with Mutt, sponsored by the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. Start your Massachusetts summer adventure at visitma.com. Gresh and Keefe are live from Patriots training camp. Day one of joint practices with the Carolina Panthers have begun and ended. That was Tommy Curran on with the guys. Andy Hart will join the guys coming up next. Ian Rappaport reported this morning that Jo'Wan Williams is out for the season with a shoulder injury. No Isaiah Wynn, no Malcolm Butler, and no Justin Herron at practice as well. Some of the Celtics' 2022 regular season schedule has leaked. The Seas will host the 76ers in their season opener on October 18th. Finals rematches with the Warriors will be on December 10th in Golden State and January 19th in Boston. I'm John Anderson. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Andy Hart of WEEI.com plops down and talks Patriots practice with us next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
Oh, how could you be so heartless? How could you be so cold as the winter wind when it breeze, yo? Just remember that you talking to me, though. You
need to what a day here at Patriots training camp. 125 Gresh and Keith here with you. Andy Hart of WEEI.com. Look at him with his little reporter notebook as well.
Look at all those notes.
And his,
I got quotes, I got notes, I got anecdotes,
well,
the whole thing.
And you got your keep your bum from sweating / burger towel or whatever.
Yep.
Were you one of the many of the Cavoons that just cleaned up the Chick-fil-A yesterday?
No, I didn't get any.
Oh,
I was one of
he was on with us.
Yeah.
Wasn't he?
And we I forgot about
you
that.
You bleepers effed me. Yeah. Otherwise, I would have had Chick-fil-A.
You know what?
We owe him one.
Yeah, you owe me a Chick-fil-A
we owe a sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a coupon for you. Here you go.
So Tom,
there's got to be a Teddy's 20 laying around somewhere.
So Curran led by saying that he was going to give the offense a B, and then before we could even like ask him about it again or follow up, he gave him a B minus.
Rich talked
and then
him
I
down.
Was like, what's next? A C. Overall, again, it was a long practice. There was a million drills. So if you added it all together, what was your assessment of the offense?
The offense, I would probably say a B that's coming on a curve. Like,
okay, a B
so
for
much
them.
Better than yeah, it's yeah, been. Yeah. So much better than it's been. I thought they got punked a little bit early. I don't know if you guys are watching down here. They had some, I think it was like 6-on-7 or something, and Carolina was more physical. Mm-hmm. There was one play where linebacker 40 popped Jonnu Smith after, and the ball popped out, almost like, whoa, I didn't know
oh,
we were doing that. We're doing that here. Yeah. So I thought they were a little taken aback there. But then afterwards, baby steps. I think you – see, I said last week at some time, if you removed the throws to the running backs, the offense had nothing. Now we've added quick outs to the receivers. And now we're adding – balls down the field a little bit. Some of those Devontae Parker, which he now wants us to call 80-20 balls. They're not 50-50. The ball's in the air, it's his, so they're 80-20
balls. There's
pressure on himself.
There's stats to back that up. I don't know if it's exactly 80-20, but contested catches, he's one of the better guys the last 3 years.
And are we to the point with him where I know some people like to disparagingly say, well, yeah, they're 50-50 balls because he gets no separation. He's never open.
Yeah, there's
but
that.
At some point, if he just does it, it's what he does.
Like, catch. Okay,
you know, there's guys like Anquan Boldin was not a guy that got 5 yards of separation going to toast you. But if you can do it with consistency and you have a quarterback who puts it in position for you to do it consistently, because I would say if he were on the Panthers, he'd be in trouble because those guys suck.
Panthers.
If you want me to know Panthers offense, I'll give you an F. Absolute effing F. Listen, they were terrible.
My guy Baker's going to still win that job, though.
I'm not sure he is. Were you watching?
I was. Were you watching Sam Darnold?
They both stink.
Baker at least completed passes.
So what are you going to go with? The devil you still know or the new devil?
The new devil.
Okay.
Always
maybe.
The new devil.
Could be the option.
You just got him. He's a fresh devil.
But they were bad. They were bad.
They were rough. Yeah. As a side, do you think McCaffrey plays all year with them, or do they try to get something for him?
I would try to get something for him. You're in a rebuild. I mean, I don't know how long Rule makes it. I know he's a football guy, according to Bill.
Well, that's why they're keeping it, because it'll be the new GM in the offseason that'll end up making that move.
When Tepper kind of goes in a different direction. I know everybody says, oh, he makes $9 million. Tepper's got, like, gazillions of dollars. What does he care?
The next guy is also going to make whatever.
Yeah. So. My theory on it has been every time there's a new owner and you're the coach, get ready because you're on the clock.
Yeah.
Like that Hackett Rube in Denver.
Yeah.
Now that the new owners are in, give it a year. If they have a year that's a disaster, they'll be like, let's get rid of this guy.
Especially the new money owners. These aren't the Sullivans here in Foxborough or even the Spanoses out in L.A. that have to actually care about money.
It's not Mike Brown.
These are the, new age billionaires, billions upon billions of dollars. So, but no, to get back to your question about the offense, this is, I think, the progress you were looking for, like the whole work in progress. It's a process. I think if you watch today, you'd say, okay.
You saw something.
I still saw plays where Mac's pulling it down and he has to scramble, and there was another play where the receiver and Mac not on the same page, and the work in progress part is still evident, but at least the process included progress to blend the two phrases.
Yeah. In terms of Hunter Henry, do you have any idea what happened to him? He just sort of, it was like everybody was watching and it was like poof, he disappeared.
Yeah, I'm not great at those things, I'll be honest with you.
It's okay.
Because I'll go like a couple minutes later, I'll go, because the first thing, I watch a drill that appears to be one-on-ones and it's like, is that Matt Sokol? What the hell is he doing out there?
Yeah, right.
I go, hey, Giardi, where's Hunter Henry? And he's like, I don't know. He must have left. I didn't see him. Yeah, he was obviously
absent.
Well,
and there's four drills going on at the same time.
Yes,
you got to kind of pick a quadrant.
And they all seemed pretty entertaining.
They all seemed worth watching. There was somebody good in each area.
Those of us that have been here most practices, we have watched some boring-ass days, full days, where nothing on the practice field is entertaining. In those portions, there was like four things you could have watched.
It was.
You could have put on closed-circuit TV and people would actually be entertained. You know, the old divide and conquer, but it was by far the best practice, and we haven't even talked about the defense yet.
For sure.
Well, I wanted to get there because Keith and I talked a little bit earlier about some of the, like, real red zone stuff they did. Joshua Bledsoe was mixing in there as well. Yep. You saw Jabril Peppers, who was playing up a little bit, but
blitzing a little bit at times.
Yep. Yeah. So you could kind of see there's something going on. I wonder about Cody Davis' spot on the roster of Bledsoe, right? Because Bledsoe makes nothing, right?
Either Bledsoe makes like two million. Schooler, those guys are both in the mix, the undrafted rookie special team core guy. I think either of those two guys could push Cody Davis, who's, I think, 2.3 million.
Yeah, that's a lot
of money for a personal protector.
Not in the Belichick world. What else stood out to you defensively?
The front, I thought at times was borderline dominant. Now, I don't think the Panthers have a very good offensive line. They lost maybe their starting center to an injury. He got carted off in the practice. But at various points, it was Barmore who, he's a beast. My expectations are continuing to grow from him. We saw what he was last year. Now, does he become an every down player? Does he just take, because the physical tools are there, and I buy in that he wants to be great. I think he's a guy, you go back to Alabama and all those stories, does he care about football? He was thinking of leaving the program. Now I think he's gotten a taste of like, wait a minute, I'm pretty freaking good at this, and that taste is going to want him to push further for success, but also he's no dummy. I'm a second round pick, and if I become Aaron Donald, some team's going to hand me $80, $90, $100 million.
No doubt.
I think he has that kind of upside, but it wasn't just him. Uche flashed, Judon flashed, Godchild flashed.
Wise was dominant. He schooled 72.
There was one time he had the sack, and then he strutted back from it. Because, you know, the quarterback still threw it. It was a sack.
Yeah, right, right.
But he strutted back. Like, did everybody see? Like, they were feeling Jalen Mills.
Yeah.
I thought Jalen Mills was really good today. And brought energy to the whole thing. They were, even when Mills and the starters were on the sideline, they were celebrating. They started to feel it. And obviously, at some point in this practice, I thought Adrian Phillips had an interesting comment because, you know, the fights happened. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the fights happened, and Bill hates to see that. That drives Bill nuts. They kick everybody out. But Adrian Phillips made a comment to something about, like, you know, you got to bring the juice, but not that fake juice. And I think there was sort of he denied later that he was – he pulled a
little
bit of –
But the Panthers were talkative, right, early, especially their secondary.
And remember when Alex Cora said, that team over there in Tampa, they're trying and they're fighting. And everybody's like, wait, are you implying yours isn't? He's like, no, I wasn't implying that.
I'm just saying that theirs is.
Right. Well, yeah, Phillips did the same thing today. We don't bring the fake juice, but I thought they started to – because for them – you got to think about what we've been doing for 3 weeks, criticizing the offense. The offense stinks. The scheme stinks. The coaching stinks. What's going on? And I've said, maybe the defense is better than we give it credit for. And I'm sure they're thinking, wait, we're out here, too. We're making plays.
Right.
And then today, it's like, and we're doing against the Panthers. Again, maybe they're a bottom third of the league team. I don't know. But, you know, you can quote-unquote only play the games you play. You lined up a different colored jersey, and you kicked that jersey's ass today if you were the defensive front. So I think that's something to build upon for them.
There are two guys that I thought needed either a good day, a good week, or a good rest of camp, and for different reasons, and neither of them were out there today. Malcolm Butler on defense didn't play, and then Isaiah Wynn.
Yep.
And I know he's been banged up, but once again, it seems like the old story with Isaiah Wynn, one injury after another, he's missed more games than he's played in, it feels like.
Yeah, and he's part of the reason I've called the offensive line endlessly a house of cards, because the Haran thing, okay, that didn't work. Now we're on to Kajust, and okay, maybe he's good enough, but you don't want to be tapping into your depth in August. And, I mean, Wynn's on the team.
Oh, of course. Right. That's why it's a different thing.
He's got the
thing,
$10 million. Like, he's on the team. But he's one of your best five when healthy.
He could also make or lose himself a lot of money based on how he plays this year.
Oh, yeah. I'd be scared to death if I were a future employer of his, what you want to sign him for, where you want to play him, what he really is in the NFL. And then as far as Butler, I think it's getting more and more some snarky guy, because I posted a column about what could he be on Sunday, you know, the surprise cut, because I don't think the team has a lot of surprise cuts, names, the whole thing. Well, I'd be surprised at this point if he even makes the team. Okay, well, you don't have to be mean.
Yeah,
just throwing it out there.
Don't get nasty, but I especially on a day like this, he's not there and all of the corners play well. Like, all of the corners jumped out, and you're like
– and you do the numbers game.
Yeah.
There's just, like, it's going to be him – and maybe Terrence Mitchell, depending on the rookies. Whatever happens with the rookies is one thing. If you end up with both rookies on the roster, if they don't get the Foxborough flu or whatever.
Right.
But if Jack and Marcus Jones are taking up roster spots, Jalen Mills is on the roster. Jonathan Jones is on the roster. And now you're like, okay, I got a couple spots left, and I have Malcolm Butler, Terrence Mitchell, no Jawan Williams, obviously, but Miles Bryant.
Sean Wade.
Sean Wade. Miles Bryant was in the slot with the first group the entire day today. The entire time with Jonathan Jones on the outside, Jalen Mills on the outside, Miles Bryant in the slot. He's a guy that obviously returned punts nicely
in the
opener. Yep. He played safety last year, had that huge pass defense in Buffalo to get the win. You know, the game was over. It wasn't. It was never going to make it to the end zone. But he's a guy that's in the mix. So it's starting to feel like Butler's almost becoming more of a long shot to make the roster than to get cut at this point.
Where are you at on Sean Wade?
You see flashes.
Right.
And that's what's going to make it tough with him. You'd almost, I feel like, from a roster perspective, a year two guy you traded for, who then had some issues, couldn't really get on the field last year, once upon a time was seen as like a developmental first-round pick at Ohio State. The flashes are what make it hard to make a decision, right? If he just sucked, you'd say, boy, we blew that evaluation last year, but let's
move
on.
Sure, we gave him nothing for him, let him go.
Now
right?
It's like... No, he made, that was a nice play he made. Oh, that's a good play there. Now, what's he doing on this play? Like, that balance, he's almost another guy you want around. I don't know if you can sneak him through to the practice squad or if he would get claimed. My guess is he'd get claimed by somebody. So I think he's a tough guy, and I personally haven't seen enough that I'd want to keep him. But I would also be like, yeah.
Put him on layaway.
Somehow, some way, because I think it could bite me in the ass because you go, oh, year three, he figured it out, and now he's a starting corner somewhere.
Do you read anything into it? Didn't look like Bailey Zip-Zap really got any. Yeah.
You know what? That has me worried.
Yeah.
So they ran a boatload of plays today with Mac, with the first offense, with the first defense. Are we in line for them to just – I almost said something. You're probably not supposed to stay on the air. To do a lot of things on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then it's the Zappy show on Friday night at Gillette Stadium again with players who didn't get as many reps during the week.
Yeah, it could be.
So,
that'd be fun.
Or even if it may end up being Mac for a series or two and then the Zappy show
rest
for the rest.
Right.
Which then we can get into analyzing who's calling plays for Zappy and Mac.
Probably Judge.
And
it's personal play caller, Joe Judge.
Yeah.
Maybe. But, yeah, so.
Maybe there's a reason for that because the guy.
Possibly.
I know he was a middle-round pick, but.
Maybe both of them makes you wonder about
the roster crunch.
Maybe they're both developing. Maybe it's a developmental quarterback with a developmental play caller. And
what are we, the XFL?
Hold our hands and develop together. Skip into the season.
Ship them to the USFL in the summer to get more development.
So I know we talked about the offense as a whole, but what about Mac Jones individually? I know he had the pick down here late in practice.
That wasn't a gotta have it play.
That's what we kind of figured too. It was like a fourth, like the way he threw it.
Like the game's over either way. So. I got to give somebody a shot now. Nobody had a shot except the other team.
No. So probably not. But I know Patricia and Judge both downplayed his frustration yesterday when they were talking about it. But what was his comfort level, and what did you think of Jones today?
I thought he looked pretty good today. I thought his energy looked really good. I thought his emotion, no frustration. He was under pressure at times. There was even one where the Panther, I forgot who it was, ran by him, and he turned around and ran up to him and fist bumped, goes, yeah, you got me on that one, with like the little coy, stupid giggle, smile thing that is all about what Mac is. So I thought he threw the ball. I think that building rapport down the field with Parker is a good thing.
Yep.
Because as I said, you feel comfortable he's going to hit the backs. And then, like, the little outs, you're going to hit those. They're adding some slants. Like, I do think you're seeing some progress in terms of routes they can turn to, one-on-ones that they're winning. And then if you open that up down the field a little bit to Devontae Parker, I think that helps everything. Yeah. And they do seem like they're building a little relationship there.
Tyquan Thornton today, what'd you see?
I thought he took a little step back.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't think
interesting.
Because I have – okay, so what do we call, like, take development or, like, working on a take – I think he's the best rookie receiver since Deion Branch. I think that I'm very comfortable saying.
Better than Aaron Dobson.
Wow.
Yes. Oh, 100%. Go ahead. Pick anybody else you want.
Josh Boyce.
All right. Don't minimize my big take.
Like, who else is there? What is he talking
about? Screw you.
He's better than N'Keal Harry.
Ban Childress.
Better than Ban Childress. I got him one notch ahead of Braxton Berrios right now.
I was developing towards not sold he won't be the best receiver on the team at some point this year.
Got it.
Because I've been disappointed in Bourne. I think he's before he threw a haymaker and got thrown out of practice.
It's not been a good camp for him.
He's been non-existent, like really not showing up other than as the hype man on the sideline. And Thornton had a catch today where Mac hit him sort of a deep in cut.
It was the deep in cut, and then there was like the slant that he ran through everybody.
Yes, and I just think right now there's still that hesitation. And once he loses the hesitation, once there's confidence and he catches it thinking, I'm taking this to the house. I'm not getting hit.
Yeah, right.
I'm faster than everybody on the – and I think there's such room for growth there. I don't know if it comes week six, week eight, when he starts to really – because you talk to these guys. Even – I remember Duggar. He had like a game a couple years ago where he was like, it was December 12th against the Bills. Finally, I felt like I knew what was going on.
Uh-huh.
And I think when Tyquan Thornton reaches that point, he's got a pretty good upside. I really do.
Yeah, we'll definitely unpack more of that tomorrow because Keefe's got a couple of days off, and Hart is going to be
him
in
with
for
days
those
off?
3 days.
What, you have another kid? Or still milking
coming
the
up.
First one?
That's September.
Oh, wait. You
have you finished milking the first kid for days
yeah,
off?
Yeah, no, that one's done, but I got another fresh 6 weeks coming
nice.
Up.
Nice.
So
now Curtis, who made fun of Keefe all the time, is taking
on the
his Keefe
plan.
Now he went yeah. like 3 weeks.
He's like, Rich, how do you do this exactly?
He took the week off before the baby.
I'm stupid.
That's true.
He went next level on it. I didn't even think of that.
That's all. That is true. That's right.
You got to get your mind right in that situation.
Water broke 5 days.
She'll be at work. She's at work. I'm at home. Be
right.
Like,
that is true.
Any minute now.
Delius Renard won. There we go. Can you imagine that? That would be fantastic. Hart, you and I definitely do want to get into more of Tyquan Thornton. I don't know if he'll be the best, but he's clearly going to be the explosive play guy, which will lead people to say, oh, that makes him the best. But there's a lot of little things that I think these dudes need to learn. And you could see some of the nuance with Devontae Parker. Like, he knows he knows how to get enough separation to high point versus just shoving a guy and then throwing his hands
subtleties
up in
the of
the air.
Game. But let's do a big market tease for, like, 20 hours from now.
Ooh,
we'll pick it up tomorrow morning.
This guy and his teases.
Wow, I'm going to get one pipped.
You might. Is Tyquan Thornton the most talented receiver on the Patriots roster right now? 617-779-7937.
Stay on hold for 20 hours. Yeah. They put you up on the
guy
like, no, I want to wait. I want to wait for Gresham Hart.
Yeah, the guy in Florida who wants to suggest NFL rules ideas. That's what we need.
No, it's not that slow of a day.
No.
I was going to say,
we
just had a joint practice, the best practice of the year.
We're good.
McCaffrey's on the field.
We don't
need to make it plays.
No.
Guy wants to make an all-time quarterback rule for both sides or whatever. Like, that's
steady QB?
I don't know.
Like the old days?
Backyard football? I'm curious. Quarterback, like, oh, come on.
You could have Brady in those games playing
for
both teams.
Pretty good.
Although he's,
well, he's on vacation.
That's
he's in Keefe.
He's off. So I'll take Mahomes.
You're on the Brady plan, Keefe. You're
must be
vacation.
Nice.
It is nice. Yeah,
you're going to be back in time for, like, NFL Sunday and that stuff? Or are you going to be a real Brady and just take those off, too?
Oh, no, he's not taking forever off.
I'm taking
a couple
days
off. For
nice.
Now I'm defending you
know,
after we were breaking your balls.
Nice. Some of us work every damn day.
Well, I think you're allowed to take 3 days off, Hart.
I took a little time in June.
Yeah, okay. Writing on your boat doesn't count.
Right.
I don't write on the boat. When I'm on the boat, it's Miller time, baby. True.
And on that note, Hart will be in for Keefe tomorrow.
See ya.
You got Hart. Something brings it home next.
Original.
W-E-E-I. W-E-E-I.
New England sports original.
Now, more of Gresh and Keefe
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Time for You Got Something. It is brought to you by Unified Office. If you run a business, you know the rough impact the labor shortage can have on your customer's phone experience. Unified Office specializes in keeping businesses from losing incoming customer calls and revenue. Learn more at unifiedoffice.com. Keith, do you have anything?
I do have something. I do have something. This is a great tweet by Rylan Dominguez. He says he did some research on this. This is a baseball stat. You're going to like this one. If every game in Major League Baseball this year was played in Williamsport at the Little League World Series, this is what the home run leaderboard would look like.
Oh, dear Lord.
Marcus Semien would have 157 Little League home runs.
What?
Be the most in the majors. He has 18 Major League home runs, but he would have 157 Little League home runs. Freddie Freeman is second with 155, followed by Corey Seager, Jake Cronenworth, and Aaron Judge. So the real home run leader would only have 140 Little League home runs. Of course, he plays in Yankee Stadium, so he could.
Seems low.
I was going to say, probably has just as many. Because what's the. I think it's like 200 or 250 maybe is the fence in Little League.
Yeah, oh, you know.
Somewhere around there. I know when I played, a million years ago, it was like 200, then maybe straightaway center was like 225.
That's what I thought. It was like 225, like 250, something like that, but yeah.
But so. 100,
kids are still piping them, too.
They are crushing them. These kids are like Major League parks.
Seriously.
They should play. Well, I guess they have the smaller bases, but still. I got a good laugh at that because Marcus Semien signed one of the worst contracts in baseball this past offseason because he hit 45 bombs last year with the Blue Jays. Everyone's like, yeah, he's not going to do that again. And then this year, only 18, but again, 157 Little League dingers.
That is pretty amazing. They had the Little League Softball World Series on ESPN yesterday. Yeah. They had to go to review for a big call. This guy was losing his mind in the dugout.
Oh, that was crazy.
It was classic. I can only imagine Hart in a situation like that.
How many reviews would he be calling series? For?
Like, I got to ask him about that tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Landman, you got anything?
Nope. No, I got nothing.
That's all
I'm
right.
I'm looking up dimensions for Williamsport.
Oh, there we go.
I feel like those numbers are way too low.
That's what a good producer does, though. He looks
it up. Way too low. Because, I mean, like even like can of corn pop-ups are home runs.
Yeah, right. Anything warning track would clearly be a home run.
And they got their DeMarini bats or whatever they are now, right? Like all these bat manufacturers.
The bats are as loaded as the kids are.
I was just going to say.
Those kids, they're on some space-age stuff.
And the West Coast kids, they're like, oh, this kid's 6'8", and he's 12 years old. It's like, what are we doing here?
Give it time. We'll find out that half the team is 16 years old.
Oh, yeah. John, you got anything? You got something?
I got absolutely nothing.
All right, I got one. Anybody know who Phil Ruffin is? No, it's not a joke. Phil Ruffin is a real human being who owns a hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Okay.
He met with A's management today starting at 9 a.m. The rush to Vegas is happening. This is going to be the guy, apparently, Phil Ruffin, who's going to be the one to lure the A's out of Oakland.
Got it.
And maybe build yet another monstrosity out in Vegas. Some of the rumblings and rumors were, and I'm not real sure on this, there's property on the Las Vegas Strip that I think it might be where either the Tropicana is right now or an older version of something. And they're going to potentially build like another billion-dollar stadium or whatever. So instead of playing in the Roomba and trying to, I don't know if they can change the dimensions of where the Raiders play.
Yeah.
But they might end up building like a 40,000-seat ballpark right off the Vegas Strip. And everybody
talks about, are you kidding me? How unbelievable would that be?
Where you're just taking in a game. Let alone the fact that, you know, if the Red Sox are out there playing the A's, who wants to go to Oakland? That place is literally a toilet, as in there's like turds floating in the dugout whenever that building breaks. Meanwhile,
I wonder
if you're
what kind
on
of
the
stadium
Vegas
they would
Strip,
have. Well, they got to go retractable, probably,
have to.
Right?
You
go some new age. But, so, by the way, that the Little League home run guy that I just
mentioned.
So that it was also inspired by a very popular Twitter account, which I'm surprised I'm not following. It's Would It Dong. Would_it_dong.
How'd you miss that,
where
bro?
They take every single Major League home run hit, and they tell you how many parks it would be a home run in. So, like, this must have been where people were getting the stat earlier in the year. Remember Anthony Rizzo had, like, whatever, when he got to 20 home runs, it was something silly, like, 18 of them were only Yankee Stadium home runs. Like, they wouldn't have been home runs anywhere else. But it's pretty funny because they show you the stadium that they're in. They give you the exit velocity, the launch angle, the projected distance of the home run, and then how many parks it would have been a home run in. What an incredible thing.
We need to break down how many Fenway flies would have been home runs elsewhere.
I'm trying to look at the last, because he's got every game, so you're scrolling through this like a lunatic.
Well, you know what? You got plenty of time on vacation to kind of break it all down. A couple of tall boys or pint clubbers or something
just
like that.
All the beers.
That sounds like a guy ready to go on vacation. Training camp coverage on WEEI is brought to you by Zudy. Build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zudy, that's ZUDY.com for your free trial. New England Spine Care, we've got your back at anyspinecare.com. Henry Elliott and Company, the interoperability staffing partner of the healthcare IT industry at henryelliott.com. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Zeke. Billy Baseball, I will see you tomorrow. Keith, have a great couple
Thank
days
you very
off,
much.
Friend. Have
Enjoy.
All the beers.
I will. See you guys Monday.
So Keith will be back on Monday. Hart and I will see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. from right here for our final day of coverage of Patriots training camp. Maloney, Foyer, and Mego are next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.